Here's what I want to know. Is this really an FAA regulation? Every time, I swear it's part of the script, on an airliner, when you're riding one of the airlines, all right, there's a two carry-on bag limit usually, almost everywhere, basically. And I've heard a number of different airlines refer to it as that this is a result of an FAA regulation. Do you think it's likely that there is, in fact, an FAA regulation that talks about how many carry-on bags you can
have?
I'm
sure there isn't. I'm almost positive there isn't.
Yeah, I wouldn't think there would be.
They lie.
Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah. No, it wouldn't be. There might be. Well, I mean, and I don't even know whether the battery thing is an FAA regulation.
The battery thing is an FAA regulation.
It is.
Batteries cannot be stored in your check baggage.
Right. Okay, that is an FAA regulation.
Lithium-ion batteries.
Yes, I stand corrected.
Okay.
You're right. Yeah.
But the two person or two bag carry on per person is blowing snow. All of these flights are full these days. Okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't check their bags.
Oh no!
So,
I know.
And the overheads fill up very quickly. And I mean, this is a fact of life when you're traveling on an airliner these days.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had a problem, well, one kind of quasi-problem, with just throwing my laptop bag in the overhead and checking my bag. Mm-hmm. It costs $50, and generally the client's paying for that anyway. So, but it's a thing for people who try to carry, who don't try to check their bags.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not an FAA reg. It's a policy.
Yeah. Right.
From
right.
the airline.
Because
they're trying to fill all these seats.
No, and I understand why they're motivated to have you limited to two bags. And I don't even question, you know, I mean, that's fine. That's fair. All right. They've got to do exactly what you just described. I mean, it's full and you got to. But for them to then put it off on an FAA regulation just bugs me. That's just like, yeah, it's like, you know, because it's crying wolf, basically. You know, it's like there are some genuine FAA regulations that people should pay attention to. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, don't unbuckle before you're at the, you know, before you're
exactly,
you know, at the gate with the brakes on. Right. You know, and that's an FAA regulation. All right. You know, being seated before you start being pushed back. That's an FAA regulation. These are safety things. It's important, all right, to then water down the concept of an FAA regulation by things that are not really just bugs me.
And sometimes these wonderful ethical executives at the Part 121 carriers like to use the FAA as a whipping boy for policies that are solely of their own making. Oh, the FAA says we have to do that. Blowing snow.
Yep.
The FAA doesn't say they have to charge $50 for a bag. The FAA doesn't have to say that they have to charge to use the lavatory or the overheads. That's company policy.
Yeah.
The FAA doesn't say, oh, you can only carry two bags. You can check as many as the airline will let you check or as you can afford. That's, like Jeb says, policy, not regulatory.
Right. So airlines, get your act straight here. Don't.
Well, and they don't pay excise taxes on the revenue that they get from things like checked bags and,
you know,
charging you to use overheads and all that stuff.
That's right.
That's a scandal, if you ask me. I don't understand why that isn't a bigger deal. All right. You know, is that they're, it would seem to me you're right, that they're bypassing the so-called ticket tax by redirecting charges off of the ticket and onto other things. And, you know, so anyways, all right. Not an FAA regulation.
Show it to me.
Yeah.
Okay. I
mean, yeah.
All FAA regs are public. Show it to me.
Yeah. So, Jeb, did you have an adventure at Freeway Airport?
Oh, I should have kept my mouth shut.
Okay, well, yeah, I don't know. What can you tell us? Well, first of all, where is Freeway Airport?
Freeway Airport is east, northeast of Washington, D.C. It's
east, northeast. Oh, up there. Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
It's just, I mean, just looking at it on a, it's.
It's sort of well within Andrews's.
Yeah,
know.
it's within the Bravo, underneath the Bravo, or certainly within the 30-mile Mode C Vail. Nice little airport's right there beside US 50 that rolls from DC out to Annapolis. This was early aughts, I guess. I was still living in D.C. And hanging out on the D.C. pilots list and whatnot. And one of the participants had his airplane at Freeway, needed to get it back to Frederick, and was looking for someone to pick him up at Frederick and fly him to Freeway so he could get the airplane, and that would have been the end of the day. So I volunteered for that. The calendar worked out, and I don't remember the gentleman's name. I don't remember what kind of airplane he had, yada, yada, yada. Punchline, I picked him up at Frederick, and there was some weather starting to try to move through the area. Let's try to get this done before this weather gets here. And we took off IFR and maneuvered around and cleared for the visual to Freeway. And all hell was breaking loose. There was a front coming through. It was moving faster than anyone thought, and it was stronger than anyone thought it was going to be. And here I am trying to land at Freeway. Freeway at the time, well, probably still is, 3,000 feet by 40 feet or something like that, maybe longer, but not much wider. And I'm sliding down final to try to land on this runway, and I've got at least a 30-degree crosswind correction cranked in, and it's bumpy, and I'm almost lock to lock trying to keep the wings level and all this nonsense. And I call like a mile final or something, and there was no other airplane in the pattern at Freeway, let's put it that way. I called about a mile final for the runway, and the FBO shack just emptied. You could see all these people running out because they wanted to see this, okay?
Check this out.
And yeah. The lower I got, the more lock to lock I was doing, and the worse it was getting. The ride was bumpy, the whole thing. And I said, this is just not going to work. And went around, called the missed approach. Potomac was not happy to hear from me. And ended up having to fly through this front to get back to Frederick. The ride was not quite as bumpy as the ride down final had been. But it was definitely, I was definitely earning my instrument rating. Got the gentleman back to Frederick, said, sorry, I couldn't do this today. He said, no, man, nobody could have done this today, kind of thing. And we parted ways. And that, I think, was the only time I've ever attempted to land at Freeway for one reason or another.
Uh-huh, so, That's 2,420 feet, apparently.
2,420, okay.
By 40.
By 40.
Well, that's okay.
To go around when the FBO empties to watch you land.
Check this out. Yeah, this is going to be great. Let's go. It's interesting. It's in this cutout of what is this ring that they're showing here? Is this
that's just a tier of the Bravo, I guess.
It's funny. This chart that I'm looking at doesn't show the DC. Usually the DC restricted area has a great big bright red ring around it. I'm looking at the note here someplace. What is this particular thing? Is this I don't know. It's not the what's the word? The not FISDO. I don't remember.
I don't either.
The DC special
CFRA,
thank you.
Special flight rules area.
And I'm trying to figure out this circle. I bet it is because it's got a different kind of.
Well, I'm looking at this on 4Flight's online map, and
Now they do have the red circle, right?
They've got the red circle, and they've got a cutout there for Whiskey WW, which is
okay. So that the cutout is out of the red circle. Uh-huh. So yeah, this chart notation is the either the CFRA or the
and all that I'm talking about was before the CFRA went into effect. It was post 9/11, but after before the CFRA.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, then, that wasn't a very big window, was it? That didn't the CFRA stuff happen pretty quickly?
No. CFRA stuff happened, I don't know, define quickly. I mean, we went through a lot of iterations. Uh-huh. There was Enhanced Class Bravo, and that was nationwide. And there was a bunch of other machinations, 02-ish, 03-ish, 03. Yeah, I don't remember when. Late 02, maybe. they came up with the freeze, the flight restricted zone, which is the super secret decoder ring requirement to get into the DC-3 airports. I don't remember the dates on that, but it went through a variety of iterations before it became before it got into its current configuration.
My craziest crosswind attempt was in the Central Valley of California. I think it was Lodi. Is that the name of the airport? Yeah, Lodi. Lodi Airpark in Central Valley, south of Sacramento. And I also had a friend who we were trying to land out there in the... And let's see what it says the dimensions of this airport. Where are we here? It must be this one right here. Lodi Airpark, 1875 by 22, right?
Oh, we got fun now.
Yeah, and I don't know why we were
22?
Trying to land...
22?
Yeah,
22
I don't even know.
22 feet wide?
That's what the notation here... And I'm looking at VFRmap.com, and they have... Basically, the notes out of the green book. They're whatever they call the green book.
They call it the chart supplement now. They used to call it the airport facility directory.
AFD, that's what I was thinking, yeah. So anyways, and it says, runway 0725, is 1875 by 22. And so my crosswind was not as dramatic as yours, but then I wasn't as good a pilot, but I did have a narrower runway. And so I remember flying down final going, I don't know about this. That's not a very, is that really a runway? That's a sidewalk. That's not a runway. That's a sidewalk.
I had a, and it might have been the same day on my return to Manassas, but I remember trying to land at Manassas one day. Wind was a direct crosswind, 20 gust to 30 or something like that. And no one else was out there flying. And I've got the long runway all to myself at Manassas. And yeah, I can land this thing there. You know, it wasn't that big a deal. I don't know what the demonstrated crosswind on my airplane is, but it ain't 20th gusting 30. But it was, keep your speed up and you got plenty of runway to deal with and, remember all your crosswind corrections. And I think the controller was like, holy crap, I didn't know you could do that, you know, kind of thing. But
yeah, really. David, do you have any, what was your most dramatic crosswind attempt or landing or whatever?
I think that would have to go down to a landing I did at Meridian, Mississippi on my way to Lakeland one year in the Comanche. The crosswind was about 60 degrees off the runway, 20 gusting 30 plus.
Mm.
And the controller there wanted to put me on a runway where it was less cross but downwind.
Ooh.
And I kind of weighed the two problems. Good crosswind, unpredictable, and a tree line just upwind of the runway, or downwind where it was going to be equally rocky, it was going to be a lot less cross because it was going to be downwind.
Mm-hmm.
And the controller tried to talk me into going around to the downwind runway, and... I declined, and I took the runway that I preferred, which was into the wind. And the last 175 feet were all knees and elbows. I mean, I thought I dislocated my elbow a little bit.
Okay.
Fighting to keep it within spec, and came close to dragging the left wing tip. And took a bird strike. A little sandpiper came all the way through.
Really?
Came through all three blades of the prop without getting smacked, and then died at the base of the windshield, which was a nice heavy-duty quarter inch at that time. And the controller clicked the mic and said, "Did you just take a bird strike?"
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't yet touched down. I'm not answering you. I'm waiting until I got three wheels planted on the pavement.
Uh-huh.
And I got the three wheels down without bending or breaking or scraping anything. And he told me, you know, gave me taxi instructions, contact ground. I turned off onto the taxiway, talking to the same guy. And I said, yes, I would like to report a bird strike. And I said, okay, we'll send somebody out to get it. Looked like a sandpiper.
Mm-hmm.
I said, looked like a blood bag from where I was
sitting. Yep.
And then I got on the ramp and shut down right next to a fairly late model Mooney. Now, this is 15, 16 years ago now. And the Mooney driver was walking out with a mechanic. And by the time I exited the aircraft and gave my fuel instructions to the guy on the ramp, they were taking off the left wingtip of the Mooney. It had hit the ground, had a bad scrape on the bottom, and they were now looking at the spar to see if there was any twist or wrinkle in that, because apparently his crosswind experience was much like mine, except he had actual ground contact.
Right, right. Well,
and when I was picking up my clearance to head on to Lakeland, the ground controller said, by the way, really nice job handling that crosswind. Where'd you learn to fly? Kansas. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That explains it.
Yep.
That did explain it.
Yep.
I finished my license in August, and there wasn't a day when it wasn't 10 to 12 or worse. Usually within 20 degrees of in alignment with the runway at Augusta, sometimes 70 and 80 degrees off.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wanted to get a lesson in, I didn't have a crosswind runway to pick from. I fought through a takeoff in a 70, 80 degree crosswind, and the velocity made it manageable. And then we went off to Newton, where we had a crosswind runway to play with.
Yeah.
Yep. But that one sticks out.
I bet. Yeah, I'd remember that one, too.